not have any bearing on how you rule on us. Obviously, there were a couple of things said about me directly, and that's a credibility issue that has to be rebutted in front of everyone. So the first thing that I would say is I was the original president of the board, so and that is filed. I think you were our original attorney, and you did file that, and you can attest to that, correct?
I may not have been the original attorney, but I do know when it was
you
filed.
Came in after.
Harry Steyer was the original attorney.
That's right, yeah. So that was an incorrect statement. Virginia can attest that the person that he's referring to, but she's not here today. She was here last Monday. I think she works during the day. But she's great. She was exceptional. So let me just say that. She did a great job. And like any association, it's good to have somebody that's here on the property because they are, no doubt about that, not rebutting that with anybody. So I wanted to make that clear. The declarations clearly say on our declarations to restate that nightly rentals were allowed. That's, again, to restate the position of us, nightly rentals were occurring at that time that we purchased the property. We had a declaration. So there was some due diligence. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't perfect. Do we understand that we may make a bad investment or something of that nature? Yeah, I think everybody accepts that risk when they go on. Absolutely, I get that, and we're willing to accept that. But in order to be fair, I think there was a considerable amount of due diligence that any reasonable person would do before purchasing the property. This is not relevant, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But in terms of him, his accusation, I don't answer my phone. I'm going to leave it to the residents of Briarwood. In terms of that, they can attest to that. That's just absolutely not true. I have a business, the present CEO of that business, so I have to answer my phone, and I wouldn't try to be in this position if I couldn't do that. So that's absolutely a false statement and not really appropriate, I think, in this venue. In terms of on-site management, I just can't recall that conversation. I apologize, but we do not have an on-site manager. That is a correct statement. We do not have an on-site manager. We have Maples Properties that helps us with billing, financials, things of that nature. And they're also here in town, so they're extremely helpful. They do a great job. Bill is down the street, we talked about earlier. He comes down, he takes care of all the maintenance on the site, but he does not reside there on the site. So that is a correct statement. I agree with Mike's statement regarding the water system, and I also wanted to say to them that they're doing a majority of the work on the water system, and I appreciate you guys doing that greatly. It's got its problems, and we've talked about that. Rentals in Branson seasonal. So, you know, the reality is that why it's straining, I know that we're measuring, okay, how is it straining versus what we have now, or how is it straining versus with the new development? And I think that Mr. Findenbinder may have addressed what they're talking about again, but that's a completely separate issue. With rentals being seasonal, sometimes when there's only 10 units, it's not really exploiting the water system as much as it could if there's a new development, things of that nature, or somebody that's residing here full-time for that matter. In relation to us filing individually, that was something specifically that I called into Scott, and Scott gave us those rules and directions. So we were only doing it the way in which was laid out by the Planning Commission.
Are you aware of any unit that doesn't want to be rezoned as nightly rental?
I'm not aware, so I do want to speak to that as well. So 6 out of 10 have filed. There's another filing that just hasn't had their hearing yet. And I would suspect that, and here's the thing, it's I don't want to sound condescending when I say this, but let's just apply some common sense. If there's, according to her, there's a $100,000 price value, and that shouldn't be the deciding factor, and I agree with that. But if there's a $100,000 price difference between whether or not it allows residential or it's an R3, and I'm residing there all the time, and there's always been nightly rentals, and then I'm going to, I know with Steve DeMarco, who I don't know whether he's filed or not. He definitely would be filing for nightly rental. Susan, who's in unit number one, would be filing for nightly rental.
Steve DeMarco,
but I can't attest.
Is he not living there residential 100% of the time?
He's living there 100% of the time right now, yes. Yes,
and
ma'am.
Paying taxes as residential.
I can't attest to that, but he's living there 100% of the time. So that would leave two that I can't answer that question about, but I would guess that they would. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is the owner of 89 with parcel number 89401, the condo building for unit one, are they here? Okay.
That's going to be you, Will. No, that's going to be okay.
As was just pointed out, our assessor says that you did not file with her as a nightly rental, that you're showing that you are not a nightly rental. Is that correct?
Can you restate the question?
Okay. Your parcel ends in 89.401, building 4, unit 1.
Correct.
According to the document that was presented to us, the assessor says that you show that you are not nightly rental. Has not been on the nightly rental program.
The tax assessor?
Yes, sir. They send out a document to.
I think I know where you're going. When did you purchase this property?
The property was, I believe the bid was accepted in March. The property was closed on in April.
Of this year, 2001?
2021, yes,
okay.
This year.
So would he have gotten that then?
March, he should have, but I don't know if they caught, the transfer should have taken, but there's a possibility not.
I believe the closing was approximately April 10th.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The owner of building 2, unit 1, are they here? Okay. According to the assessor, you show that you are not on the nightly rental program.
We're not. That's what I said. We bought it with the opportunity. In fact, we bought it from one of the owners here at Redwood that sold it to us as advertised as nightly rental. And so a little.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's my, just so you guys know what I'm thinking or what my, those are both, this whole area was resorts. You had Cloud Nine Resort and you had Briarwood Resort. And you have resorts on past it and you have resorts before you get to it. I know that when the builder and the prior owner of Cloud Nine, when he changed that over, his intention was to sell those as full-time condo units for them to live in, not as nightly rental. So what is now Redbud was originally designed and built after it was already a resort, full-time ownership or monthly rental, but not nightly and not transient. My understanding is Briarwood, I don't know what their intentions were. My understanding is they were given fractional ownership, but not to the degree of nightly. Is that an accurate statement, Scott?
That's what the last Division III permit that I found stated, correct.
So, Mr. Finkenbinder, do you have anything contrary to that? As far as in your knowledge of doing research?
No, I do not. I think what Scott was saying sounds accurate. I think it's possible that at the time fractional ownership was granted when this development was the year the declaration was filed corresponds to the same time frame in the year in which the fractional ownership was granted. And at that time there was not a specific designation in the code for nightly rental.
Okay.
And that's how we ended up where we are.
And so, but prior to that, Briarwood was a different owner, but it was still called Briarwood, and it was a resort.
Yes.
Next to it is a resort. I don't know. So as far as water issues, Todd's still here? He's not here anymore. I don't know this, but I can't assume that nightly rental or rental of any kind is going to be higher or less usage of water. I would assume that because they are investments, people would be more willing to pay to have the water looked at if they were an investment and not a full-time. I don't know, as far as zoning is concerned, I don't know how much weight we can put on water issues, because I don't think that's necessarily a function of what we're looking at, but I could be wrong. Traffic issues, again, I don't know that nightly, in this circumstance, because the building's already there, is going to increase or decrease if it's nightly rental versus full-time resident. The thing that it does do is it makes people that live down there full-time or more permanent, they understand and they're more aware of the traffic patterns and more aware of, like was brought up, Kanakuk. You know, because the last thing we want is somebody getting hurt on those roads, pedestrian or otherwise. So those are my thoughts. What's the zoning right next to it on the east side, Scott? I'm trying to remember who that is.
Barnabas.
Is that Camp Barnabas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
C1. Barnabas Foundation.
Okay.
Brady, can I just make a comment to the neighbor next door? He was at the last meeting of Monday, and he's in support of Briarwood being a nightly rental because his max capacity for his cabins are 3 bedrooms. So he's excited to drive people over to the new lodges that are 5 bedrooms so that guests that can come to his resort, he now can help accommodate a larger crowd. And we also have people who stay at Kanaka who bring their kids down who would like to stay somewhere close by, and they are excited about that opportunity as well.
Scott, can you show where the Empire or Liberty fake line is?
No.
You can't do that?
I don't have a layer that shows that.
We did that.
I mean, I show the floodplain layer.
Okay, the floodplain, yes. I'm sorry. That's the same.
But I don't know that that corresponds with what Liberty's.
I believe it. 715 feet from the center. So I think,
well, my floodplain layer changes constantly as it moves down the river. That base flood elevation always moves.
It's been mentioned that the realtors were aware that it was not zoned as nightly rental or not. No one had went before the planning when they called. When it was advertised that we were going to zoning and the different townships, there would be meetings at and so forth, was there any realtor that would have ever expressed to the P&Z or come to any of those meetings and shared that, hey, nightly rental's going on there?
I think that really kind of depends on the market and who may have been listed at that current time to know if that was even an issue for them to address or not. Because if they're not on the market, that didn't necessarily catch their interest, I'm assuming. As far as realtors, I can't speak for everybody, but I know I'm obviously aware of what's going on with the properties that I have listed. And that's just all part of everybody doing their due diligence.
She liked to answer that. I'll take responsibility for that. I've been a broker for 17 years and helped David Holder sell out those buildings there. It was the first building, and I also sold his building to a prior owner. When Lifestyles reached out to me to, because I sold the what's left there, David Holder was done with it and said, I need to find a